Praise the Lord. Good evening.
Good evening.
Let's open our Bible to the book of James. Chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. We'll continue today what we started last week. The values of the trials in our life. That will be part 2. Say, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness. We come before the name of Jesus. And with my lips, O God, and let the message flow according to your will. Direct us to the areas in our life that need to be strengthened. Remind us of your promises. Remind us of the basic lessons that we learn and that is needful for us, for each and every one of us, at this time of our lives when we are facing trials. Oh God, I pray for my voice to be clear, oh Lord, and make the word of yours reach to those who are in need of it, that the message go beyond these walls, and let your message bring the fruit that you desire in the life of your church and your people. I pray for people to get revived, strengthened, encouraged. Pray for people to be saved. I pray for more evangelism. I pray for people to be rescued and come back to you, O God. I pray for healing from sicknesses, deliverance from trials, and also wisdom in areas that each and every one of us need to manage in our lives. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This all prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Why God allows certain trials or certain hardship to come across our lives? We ponder and we ask why, but James say, consider it a pure joy. Be happy about it. What happy in suffering and pain and the trials and the questioning coming on. But the Lord say in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, he says his word, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than theirs, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God has his own thoughts to solve problems. God has his own thoughts also to answer our prayers. And God has his own ways. And you know, there's certain time we have certain thoughts. And to do these thoughts, we have certain ways to do it. Now, how about if what is in God's thoughts have another thoughts? God has certain thoughts in our life, but we are not aware of that thought. But we are adopting other ways to do some other thoughts that is not in his mind. And how we don't need a trial. So God will shift and take away first our thought, and he cannot take it unless he block our ways. Then he will take the thought out. He put his thoughts. Then when he put his thoughts in our mind, we can see his ways very clearly. I'll repeat it. Many times God has certain thought in his mind. In our mind there's another way of thought, another plan. And to do that plan, we have our own ways to do it. So we are very far away. God, he needs to block our ways as we're the trial. We block the way, frustrated, why like that? After when we are surrendered, he would tell that it's not my thought. He will take our thought out, then he reveals his thought, and it takes time. Sometimes we cannot accept his thought. It takes also time. And when we accept his thought, then he will declare his ways. Then we can understand why I need to consider joy when God allows certain trials that I don't like to come into my lives and into my ways. Through trial, we learn to trust God and to trust His Word and His promises. In Matthew chapter 4, and when Christ was passing through fasting, and He was in the wilderness, Matthew 4, verse 1 to 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now here the question is, the trial that Christ was in front of him is not the fasting 40 days. Fasting 40 days had been done and finished, but that is the time that he will break his fast. The time that he is going to break his fast, there is no food. Up to this point, devil was after him to tempt him to do something wrong, and he inspired him to change the stone to bread. You know, it's a practical thought, no? You can do it when you are hungry, it's all justifiable. But when you go to the Word of God, review what is the suggestion or that inspiration that came to you, it is contradict what God has said in His Word. Christ know very well that when His people were in the wilderness, they got hungry. Moses did not pray and make the stone become bread, but God sent the bread that they need to eat, and He sent it. We did not hear that one of them died because he was hungry, right? So Christ, He knows this word. He knows that God is able to sustain him. Try a certain time. Help us to go through trusting God, trusting His Word, trusting His also promises. Through trials, our faith in God and our faith in His promises increases and well established. In the book of Genesis 22, when Abraham was challenged and was requested by God, he was tested, he was under exam. The Lord told him, take your son, the one you love, Isaac, and offer him to me as a burning sacrifice in one of the mountains, that I will tell you about it. Now, God had promised Abraham that through Isaac that he will reckon and he will have descendants. Now, how I can believe God who said to me that through Isaac I will get a descendant, but now God wants me to take Isaac and offer him as a burning sacrifice, as I'm going to slaughter him, then the point, how God will fulfill what He had promised to me. But God says through Isaac, that through him you will have descendants. So if Isaac is going to die, how God then will fulfill His promise? Abraham, sure, and you know, if somebody else, if we one of us be in that situation, The first thought come to our mind is to disobey, because, you know, how God will say like that, and it is not a practical that I need to obey this command, because if I obey this command, then no more I will have descendants, then God cannot fulfill His promise to us. But Abraham was the opposite. Abraham, he thought in this way, the one who fulfilled the promise is God, not Isaac. I need to obey him. He will be the one to do what he had promised to. Trial teach us to obey God rather than trusting on what we had received from him. And that is a very practical test. When we get what we ask from God, we start to worship the gifts and we forget the giver. But the time will come. And God allow it, and God knows how we love the gift, that particular gift, and God will not point to something else, but that what you really like, He will say, now, can you give it to me as a burning sacrifice? You just burn it and come back home. Now, Lord, if I will cover my son and I burn him and I come back home, nothing left for me. No, still you have God with you. As you obey Him, He will fulfill His promise to you. The writer of the book of Hebrews, but keep your hands on Genesis 22, we'll go back. The writers of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verse 17 to verse 19, you see, there is, during the trial, there is a godly thought should be sprung out from our minds. Now, I am saying this, but just also trust God that sometimes I am not thinking the right way even. Because the trial is like a washing machine, automatic. Get it upside down, you don't know where is your head, where is your leg. Yeah, but the Word of God in the heart, yeah? I'm giving you clues. The Word of God in your heart and the voice of the Holy Spirit will make you be inspired with the right word. And when you are in that trial, that process, the Word of God will come repeatedly in your mind and prick your heart. That's God speaking to you. You see, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offer up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. See here the way of Abraham thinking, he said, accounting that, you know, he considered that even if I came, God can raise him from the dead. Have you got the point here? The right way to think is very important when you pass a trial. It's like, you know, you were in the primary school, right? And you are in secondary school, you have exam. You have reviewed the books and you prepare yourself for the exam. In the during the exam, you don't remember the procedure. You start to think. If you think correctly, you will solve it. You will go through it. In a trial, when you think according to the scriptures, problem will be solved. Because God, when you think from the scriptures, God will speak from the scriptures. But if you think by another way, you can be inspired like Abraham was inspired. Abraham accounting, you know, the word accounting, you know, like he's accountant, he's calculating the money, if he have extra or he has less, accounting. So he was calculating the promises of God. Why I need to give? I need to give because I know that God is able to raise him from the dead. Imagine the faith of Abraham. You know, if we now think that God can raise him from the dead, which that is reasonable because Christ our Lord rose from the dead, and in the New Testament that will also rise from the dead in the last day. But at the time of Abraham, there was no scripture to speak about that. See his faith in God. That God can raise people from the dead. And there's another champion in the book of Genesis 22 is Isaac, the son of Abraham. And that's why when we pass the trial and we become good example to our children in perseverance, good example in the right way of thinking and accounting things from the perspective of God and His Word, our children also, they'll be blessed. In verse 8 and in verse Book of Genesis chapter 22, verse 7 and verse 8. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son, and he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but there is the lamb for the, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? He was asking his father, I am seeing the wood and I am seeing the fire, but the lamb for the burnt offering. And Abraham said, you know, Isaac, he has been saying his father, are you going to really sacrifice me? Are you going to do it and obey God? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. See here how the impartation of the faith of Abraham to his son, Isaac. And then tell him, what I can do now? God is like that. Yeah? I don't know why he speaks like this to me. I don't know why God allows this to try. No, he told him, God will provide, trusting God, that particular test and trial that the whole family would pass through it. The impartation of son, the impartation of faith from God to his people through his word, through his promises. The trials when God allow it so that we believe what we have read and studied in the Bible. Trials is the practical part of application of God's word in our lives. Trial, there's also our faith, you know. It is easy to serve God, to worship the Lord, and to do good things when no problem is there and everything is smooth. But it is more difficult when you are called to keep commitment where the trial is going on in your life and much disturbance is going on around you. In the book of Job chapter 2, when Job was, his faith was examined and tested, the testing of your faith, when Satan accused him to the Lord and he said, you are Job is worshipping you and serving you because you had blessed him. Stretch out your hand and strike him and he will see what he will do. So God allows Satan to do things in the life of Job. Job, he lost all his children, flocks, and house and whatever. He lost, plus he lost his health. He was stricken by skin diseases and his wife came to him, instead of she will be the one to comfort him, what she But she told him, then said his wife unto him, verse 9, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Still you are speaking about God, or God is good and you want to serve God and you want to keep your commitment. All these things, it contradicts what you believe and contradicts that God that you worship. How you can still want to keep your integrity and same style? Tell him, curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil in all this? Did not Job sin with his lips? Job, he knows that God will allow good things to happen, and God will allow also evil things also will take place in order so that the faith of his people will be tested. The faith of Abraham was tested when he was asked to give Isaac. Job was not asked to give. Job found himself, all what he had was taken away, but still he was worshipping God. The wavering of this faith of Job is not in this. Not that he did not endure the hardship that God allowed. His wavering of faith when he wants to justify himself in front of the people. In a certain time, God allow us that we are not be able to be justify ourselves in front of others. That is still part of our faith on Him, and God wants us to continue to persevere and save Him and do the right thing. But let us be reminded in the book of Philippians chapter 1. Paul is the greatest evangelist and church planter, end up in jail. And those his enemies, they were so happy about it. Testimony being in jail was totally against Paul. But that did not affect his faith. He continued to save that, and he did not justify himself or react to what other opinion of the people that go to take place about his status. As long as you have not done wrong things, God wants you to persevere and continue to serve Him. In the book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. We need to suffer? Even if it is that the attack of Satan, and things will be taken, still we need to trust God. Not only we receive the good things, but also the evil attack, we need to persevere it, go on, adjust ourselves, and accept God's will in our life. Trials teach us to persevere. A trial teaches us to have patience. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Patience, perseverance, how I can wait, how I can manage days or weeks or months. Trial will make you believe that God who allows the trial in your life, He will be the one to sustain you, and He will be the one to make you mature, perfect, and finally you will lack nothing. Speaking about patience, let's read in the book of James. Book of James, chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, verse 7, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. But ye be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. He gives the example of the farmer who is waiting patiently for the rain to come through the rain, the early rain and the latter rain. His crop, his labor will be established. He says, the Lord coming is drawing near. Be ye also patient. In verse 10, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy. He reminds us the scripture today about the end part of the life of Job, the latter part. During trial, let us remember always there's the latter part. In the book of Job, chapter 42, after all the trials that God had allowed to the prophet Job, and he persevered, the scripture tells us, Job chapter 42, starting from verse 10, when we are passing through the dark part of the trial, it says here, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. The latter part of Job, he was more blessed than the first part. So what is ahead of us? Still we have the latter part of our life. There is more blessing waiting for us than what we had lost. I am not speaking only about the rest of the years that we are going to live on earth, but even the eternal life, remembering our inheritance in heaven. So, whatever trial we pass through, we need to remember the latter part of our life, whether on earth and later on in heaven, how God will bless. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all that they had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every man an earring of gold. So the Lord, in verse 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, 10 in the latter part of his life, 10 new children. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Uzziah, and the name of the third Kirin Habuch. And in all the land where no woman born so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and so his sons, and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. So here today, whatever trial we are in, let us remember the latter part of our life. God still is there, and He wants us to live on faith on Him. The last point that I want to speak about, trial, the value of trials. Trials is close to the good plan that God has for us. There are certain sequence of trials will pass through our life. We would not be understanding what God is doing, but after a while, when you look back from where you came and where you are now, you would understand why God allow all these things, painful process that you pass through station by station to make you reach where you are in the perfect will and plans that He has for you. That's why today God wants each and every one of us to persevere in whatever assignment and trial and pain and suffering, exam and test. Then God's word in James 1 verse 12 will come true. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. How will we prove that we love God? We persevere in the trial, not to give up, not to quit, not to turn back, not to put off your hand from the flow, not get discouraged or daunted or be confused, but let us use the trial that it is the proof that God loves us and God wants us to love Him by continue doing His will and what is good and what He is leading us to. Let's all stand. Lord, we thank You. Although God, the pain that we pass through, to whatever is right that You allow in our life, oh God, there are lessons, thoughts, and ways we may not fathom, but we learn today, oh Lord, to surrender our lives and will unto You, God. Lord, we trust You. Inspire us, I pray, for inspiration of the right thoughts, oh God. Inspire us right thought that we can overcome temptation of devil, oh Lord, that we can say, man does not live on the bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Lord, help us to give the precious things that we are holding. Lord, each and every one of us, you spoke in a, it might be in a different way. You request certain things. I pray that you will reason correctly and think wisely as Abraham counted well, that God can raise from the dead. And be willing to give to You what You ask us. I pray also, God, help us to continue to serve You, even when we can't understand what is going on. There are certain losses, and we are in a situation that being criticized. But Lord, we trust you. As we look back, we can see that you have led us through areas to show us and to lead us into your perfect will. Help us to persevere. O God, truly Lord, when we look into your holiness, when we gaze into your loveliness, when we think on what's going on, Lord, around us, we can see you in our life, moving and doing beautiful things. O God, uphold us with your grace, and let your word be a medicine, be a food, as to train unto us. Continue serve you and worship you, thanking you for all the good things that you have done to us. All what we have is from you, and all what you are going to take is belong to you, not to us. Teach us to humble down before you, to accept the process that you allow us to pass through. I pray for success in the exam of each and every one of us. Let the trials that you allow in our life to give you glory and honor, perfect us, make us mature, complete, like nothing. O God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord, that your hand be with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.